to the All Elite Podcast.
All Elite Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
Wait a minute. Sean Spears? Shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, just save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast right here on the WWE Podcast. My name is Jeff Johnson. I am your host. Hey, before we get started, guys, I want to give you guys an apology for not being here last week. Unfortunately, one of the downfalls of living in the South is I live in Tornado Alley. This is the time of the year where weather can get very bad, and unfortunately, we got hit with some pretty bad weather last Wednesday night. So I was not able to watch Dynamite until the next day. So, I appreciate you guys bearing with me. And I apologize again to you guys, to everybody with the WWE Podcast for not being able to be here last week. But you know what? We're back this week. I thought AEW did put on a good show last week. And I think this week's going to be even better, guys. We got both semifinal matches in the TNT title tournament. First up is going to be Cody taking on Darby Allin. The other one's going to be Lance Archer taking on Dustin Rhodes. Both these matches are going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to Cody versus Darby because of their time limit draw they had a few months ago. And I think that one's kind of a toss-up. I know it's kind of looking like it's going to be Cody versus Lance in the finals, but Darby Allin was one of my picks to go all the way to originally win this tournament before the brackets came out. So this would be a big spot to kind of put Darby over. So I'm looking forward to all the matches tonight. We're also going to get the Best Friends taking on Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. They've been all kind of feuding around for a while, especially Jimmy Havoc and Orange Cassidy. They had their match last week, and they're continuing their feud tonight. And then, of course, we have Tony Schiavone and Le Champion Chris Jericho on commentary again tonight. And these guys have been awesome. They've been so much fun to listen to. I tweeted that I kind of been getting flashbacks of JR and King a little bit back in the late 90s, early 2000s with these two guys, where there's really good chemistry. They really feed off each other really well. And Jericho's just so good. He can do anything that he wants. So I've really been enjoying both these guys on commentary. And, I know everything's still kind of weird lately. Everything's, slowly seems like it's getting back to normal, but AEW is still doing their shows in front of no crowd. But they are saying that Double or Nothing is going to happen here in a couple months. So I think we're starting to get to that period where things are going to start happening. I think we're still a long ways away from fans being in the crowd, but it is a step in the right direction. And, AEW, thankfully, and I want to give WWE credit too. Every single week they've been putting out new shows every Monday, Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, Sundays, every day they do shows, they've been putting them out there. So I'm very thankful for professional wrestling in this time, in this crazy time we're living in right now. And thankfully, everything's going to keep going forward. But as for tonight, guys, this is another edition of Dynamite. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, there's some big matches, and by the time the night's over, we're going to find out who's going to be in the finals of the TNT Championship Tournament. So strap in, guys. It's going to be a good one. Before we get started, guys, I'm going to tell you guys to make sure to subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all of your podcasting platforms. Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you guys listen to your podcast, make sure you guys subscribe. And for you listeners on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Tell us what you think about the shows. We throw content out there all week long. Every show that's out there, everybody does a great job of everything that they do for this podcast. So, yeah, make sure you guys leave us a review. Tell us what you guys think. So we appreciate your support. Let's get ready for AEW Dynamite. So Dynamite starts out with a bang this week, no pun intended, with one of the most anticipated matchups of the night, pitting Cody taking on Darby Allin in the semifinals of the TNT Championship Tournament. I actually thought personally this was going to be the main event of the night, and I was surprised that they are opening the show with it. But having, two great wrestlers like those guys, it's a right call. It's a good decision to make. And these guys tore the house down. This match was a lot of fun. It was very back and forth. What about 25 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes? It was a long match. Like I said, very, very back and forth. Both guys had some great shiny moments. There was one spot that really stuck out. Both guys were on the outside, and Cody was talking to Brandy when Darby charged him, and Cody moved, and Darby ended up hitting Brandy into the barricade. And when I saw it, at first I thought, okay, Cody knew Brandy was there, and then kind of olayed Darby into her, and Jericho actually kind of said the same thing on commentary. And right after this happened, Cody kind of started having like a mean streak. He was stomping on Darby and kind of doing some underhanded things, and very heelish of Cody to do, which we've seen in a couple of his matches lately. But I remember seeing the original spot thinking, man, he knew Brandy was there, and he made her take the bullet there with Darby coming in. But the match continued. Brandy ended up coming back out towards the end of the match, and it was, I didn't know what she was going to do. Darby had Cody in the figure four, and they had rolled to the ropes, and Brandy walked over and gave Cody some water. And I thought maybe she was going to slap him because of the spot. You know, I didn't know if there's going to be some kind of turn here or something, but there wasn't. Cody just kind of grabbed the water, took a sip. Then Darby grabbed it and hit him in the face with it. So, no harm, no foul really, I guess, when it comes to Cody and Brandy. Maybe the plant of a seed of something. If Cody was going to turn heel eventually, I guess turning heel on his wife would be a good way to do it. But this match was a lot of fun, guys. Like I said, very, very back and forth. These guys have great chemistry. We've seen great matches with these two in the past. Darby actually hit Cody with a crossroads, got a close two count. And then at the end of the match, Cody went up top and went for a coffin drop. And Darby got his knees up. Cody landed on Darby. Darby goes to the top and hits a coffin drop. And after he lands, Cody kind of rolls over and rolls Darby into a pinning predicament. And it was kind of like a backslide in a way, where Darby lands parallel to where the way Cody's laying. And when he lands, Cody, like I said, kind of rolls over into a backslide type and gets the victory. So Cody Rhodes moves on to the finals of the TNT Championship Tournament. And this was a really good match, guys. Like I said, I really enjoyed it a lot. I don't know exactly how I feel about Cody winning the match. I understand Cody can't be in AEW title matches right now. I still feel like winning, if he turns heel, he'll just kind of throw that whole stipulation away and be like, hey, I'm a VIP, or I'm a, yeah, vice president, whatever. EVP, that's what I'm trying to think. He's an EVP, he can do whatever he wants, and then that whole thing will be gone. But as of right now, he is a babyface, and he has to abide by that rule. So I can understand why they want Cody in the finals of this tournament, but I thought this would be a big moment for Darby Allin. He's had the two matches with Cody in the past. The first one went to a time limit draw. The second one, Cody beat him in a really competitive match, and so I thought, okay, maybe this is the spot where Darby gets the victory back, but it wasn't to be. I don't think this loss hurts Darby at all. I mean, it's against Cody. Like I said, it was very, very back and forth, very hard hitting, awesome match. I just kind of wish, me personally, I kind of wish Darby would have won this match. I would have loved to see him in the finals against either a Lance Archer or Dustin Rhodes. I think the match would have been really good for Darby, and Darby would have been that underdog in that match. So, but it's not to be. Cody moves on, and now we're going to get either Cody versus his brother Dustin in a rematch of Double or Nothing last year, which in my opinion was the match of the year, or we're going to get him against Lance Archer, which is, the person that Cody's the person that Lance has wanted since he came into AEW. So the story kind of writes itself. So I understand Cody moving on, and, people are going to be excited about this main event. And I know a lot of fans are going to say, okay, we want to get Dustin and Cody one more time. But, I know we're going to talk about the match at the end of the podcast here, but I don't think they're going to go that way. I'm actually going to pick Archer to win this one before we get to the match and break it down. I think that's the direction they're going. I think the one thing that made Cody and Dustin so special at Double or Nothing last year was the crowd. The crowd added so much to that, the Dusty chants, the respect that they showed. I was in the crowd for that match, and it was the environment was just so electric. It was nothing I've ever been a part of before. And doing Dustin and Cody again in an empty arena, I just feel like it's not going to have that same emotion that it had back at Double or Nothing. So I feel like the right way to go is going to be with Cody and Lance And once we get to that match, once we break it down, we'll find out exactly if that's where they're going to go. But congratulations to Cody moving on to the finals of the TNT Championship Tournament. So next up, we get a hype video showing SCU member Scorpio Sky. And he kind of talked about his history of joining SCU and looking up to Kazarian and Daniels before he joined them. And this was a really, really good spotlight for Scorpio Sky. You know, we've seen him in some singles action over the last few months, especially when he had that championship match with Jericho, which he talked about how, you know, he's grateful because a lot of wrestlers never get that opportunity to wrestle for a heavyweight title on national TV. And he said that he didn't take that for granted. But he took a very serious tone toward the end and said that, you know, he wasn't looking to be good. He wasn't looking to be great. He was looking to be legendary. So this, I really liked what he had to say. I still think they're going to end up pushing him once everything kind of gets back to normal. I know that they were looking towards doing that before, you know, everything kind of happened in the world that's been going on right now, and they've had to kind of back off a little bit with certain things. But I still feel like Scorpio Sky is going to be a big part of AEW singles division going forward. Once everything kind of goes back to normal, I guess. He's going to be one of the first ones pushed to the top. I would say him, Darby Allin, and I know a couple other guys here and there, Lance Archer. I think these are some of the guys that they're really going to start pushing even harder, you know, once everything kind of goes back into motion. But this is really good. I really enjoyed this video. It's a more personal side of Scorpio Sky that we don't get to see a whole lot of. You know, we kind of see the fun-loving, goofy side of him on Being the Elite and even on Dynamite with SCU. So this is really good. So if you guys haven't got a chance to watch this, make sure you do it. It's only a couple minutes long. It doesn't last very long, but it definitely kind of paints Scorpio Sky in a different picture. So it was very, very well done. We get our weekly update next from MJF. You know, he mentioned last week that he had a nail injury and he was wearing a sling and everything. It was ridiculous, over the top. And this was kind of the same thing. He had said that he went to see a specialist and he rehabbed as hard as possible. And he said he actually overhealed and he has the strongest nail that his doctor has ever seen. And he said that he was getting ready to fly to Jacksonville. He was coming for Dynamite. And then the day of, he nicked himself shaving and he took off his scarf and he had a neck brace on. And he said that he was so sad that he can't perform for the fans, you know, being, of course, MJF being super sarcastic, just kind of overplaying the whole thing. And it was really funny. It was really well done. And MJF's such a good talker. I know you guys have listened to this. You guys know how good MJF is. And this is some more great stuff from him. I can't wait to see MJF back wrestling on Dynamite again. I've been a fan of him for a while now. Ever since he kind of had that rocket strap to him when everybody kind of realized how good that he is. I was one of the ones that did also. And I feel like Dynamite's missing something when he's not on there, because he just brings something so different than everybody else. I mean, he's that legit heel that everybody hates, that just you despise. And you love to boo, you love to see him get beat. And, you know, nobody else really has that as of right now. At least nobody to his magnitude, I should say. So yeah, Dynamite's definitely missing a little bit of something without him there. So hopefully he'll be back on Dynamite soon. I don't know how many weeks in advance they've taped. I want to say this is probably the last week. So I know they're going to be taping here shortly, pretty soon, with Jacksonville or with Florida reopening back up and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll get MJF back very soon, because he's definitely needed on AEW. AEW has been good, don't get me wrong. I've enjoyed a lot of the stuff on there, but it's definitely missing some MJF, that's for sure. Speaking of MJF, though, his bodyguard, I guess you can say, Wardlow, was in action next, taking on the Dynamite debuting Moosa. I've never heard of this guy before. He was on Dark this week in a tag team match that he lost to the Best Friends. But this was his first singles match and his first match on AEW, or on Dynamite, I should say. And it went about exactly how you guys would expect it to. Wardlow got the win very easily. There was one spot in this match that was brutal, though. The best way I can describe it is Moosa was draped on the top rope, kind of similar to how Randy Orton draped somebody on the middle rope for his DDT. And Wardlow did the same thing, and he was holding him by his throat as he was, like, planking parallel from the top rope. And Wardlow just let go of him and kneed him right in the face. And it was brutal. It was such a brutal spot that they didn't even show the replay of it afterwards. And Jericho actually said it was too brutal for network television, so they couldn't show it again. But it was a brutal spot. So go back and watch that if you guys haven't seen it. It's pretty nasty. But after that, Wardlow hits the airplane spin, gets the victory, you know, easy win for him. He's been getting some squash matches lately to, you know, get back on track after his loss to Cody in the cage match a few months back. So, I like Wardlow. I think he's got a lot of potential. He's a big guy. He's got a good look. You know, a lot of guys that look like him kind of get this natural thought that they're not good workers. And I don't know why that is, but a lot of people look at him and go, well, you know, he's not the greatest worker, but I think Wardlow is really good. I think he still got some stuff. He's still got some certain things to learn in the ring, but the way he moves is really fluid. I think, you know, his strong moves are good. His mannerisms are awesome. He finds the camera, the facial expressions are good. I think he's got a bright future. I like this guy a lot. And eventually he's going to become a babyface and being associated with MJF. Eventually MJF is going to turn on him. He's going to get that rub, that babyface rub. And I think he's going to be a big star. I think he's definitely got the potential for it. Kind of reminds me of Brian Cage a little bit, which I'm a big Brian Cage fan. And hopefully Brian Cage will be in AEW sooner than later. I know that's been rumored for a while now. But a Wardlow Brian Cage match, like, really, really excites me. I like the thought of that. So, yeah, more squash victories for Wardlow. We'll see what they're going to do with him going forward. It's still kind of up in the air, especially with MJF not being on Dynamite. You know, they're just kind of feeding some these local talents to Wardlow to keep his momentum going. But I like it, and I like what he has to bring to the table. So, you know, good victory for Wardlow. So up next, we got one of the craziest segments that I've ever seen. It was the third edition of the Bubbly Bunch featuring the Inner Circle. And we've seen these guys do this over the last couple of weeks, kind of highlighting social distancing and everybody FaceTiming on their phone or Zoom meetings, whatever you want to call it, whatever they're doing. And it's been really funny, but this week they did something a little different. And I'm going to try my best to explain this. It's something that's... you really need to go watch. But Jericho says that they should do something called a Manitoba Melee. And pretty much what it is each person will swing into the camera and somebody will sell it. Like so, for example, Jericho swung and I think it was Jericho. Jericho, just for an example, Jericho swings into the camera and Sammy Guevara selling it. And then he runs back and swings the camera a certain way. And it went through all the members of the Inner Circle, but then some other people started showing up. We saw Lou Ferrigno, the former Incredible Hulk. He showed up with a taser and swung at the camera. Sonny Kiss got hit. I'm forgetting. There were so many people. There's a few AEW wrestlers. Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith, the Jay and Silent Bob, they showed up. They were part of it. But the last person that showed up, or Virgil was there. Virgil took a hit, grabbed a trash can lid and swung at the camera. But the last person that got hit was Vicky Guerrero. And Vicky just kind of started laughing and she said over and over again, "Is that it? Is that it? Is that all you got?" And then finally Jericho covering his ears saying, you know, "I can't take it anymore." So this was really, really well done, guys. Like I said, I'm not doing it any justice. There was quite a few other people too that showed up a part of this. It was great. It was fun. It was fun. And just with them kind of making, you know, lighthearted the social distancing and stuff like that. This is definitely the Inner Circle at its best. And everybody, all the actors and actresses that were part of it too. This was a fun segment. It was. So if you guys get a chance, go find this somewhere, you know, whether it be YouTube or if you've recorded Dynamite or something, go watch this segment. It was a lot of fun. Thank you, Inner Circle. Thank you, Chris Jericho, for this segment, because this is definitely very, very lighthearted and, like I said, a lot of fun. So the fun and games are over now, because now we got our no disqualification tag team match pitting the Best Friends against Jimmy Havoc and Super Bad Kip Sabian. This match was brutal, guys. These guys threw everything out there, especially Jimmy Havoc, throwing chairs, throwing ladders, anything you could think of. He was tossing him at everybody that he could. He actually tossed him in the face of Orange Cassidy pretty early in the match, knocked Cassidy out for 90% of the match or so. He was gone. But this was a really fun match. It started off with all four guys in the ring just going at it. Then there was a little bit of tagging going on, which in a no DQ match, you don't have to, but Jericho was even talking about Havoc and Sabian saying, you know, look at these guys. They're still professionals. They know they don't have to tag, but they're going to tag anyway. So great line by Jericho, just, you know, back in the heels. But this was fun, and there was some really, really crazy, nasty spots in this one. One of them was that Jimmy Havoc hit a backdrop to, I think it was Trent. Trent was on the top rope, and Jimmy cut him off and then just kind of dropped him from the top on a ladder that was sitting parallel in the corner, and Trent took a pretty nasty bump off of it. But the biggest spot of the match, though, was Jimmy Havoc set up two chairs in the ring sitting on their sides and hit a Death Valley driver to Trent on top of it. And then as Trent was laying on top of the chairs, Kip Sabian comes off with a double stomp. And it was a crazy, crazy spot. These guys, all four of these guys left it out there. But the Best Friends end up coming back and getting the victory. Chucky T grabs Jimmy Havoc and hits what I can describe as a running power pile driver. So it's kind of the same motion, I guess, like a reverse power slam in a way, but he landed in a pile driver position on top of a stack of chairs. Really hard to explain, but it was a very impressive move. I've never seen a running pile driver like that before. So that was really cool. There was a lot of good stuff in this match. Went about 15 minutes or so, just nonstop action from all four guys. Penelope Ford got involved towards the end. She ended up missing, Orange Cassidy comes back and Penelope Ford misses him with a spear, ends up hitting Kip Sabian in the barricade, and that kind of turned the tide of the match. But the Best Friends got the victory. They've won four or five in a row now. They've been on kind of a roll, so whenever Kenny and Hangman are both back together with the tag team titles, I think the Best Friends could be the number one contenders. They could be the ones that are going for those titles because they have been on a huge roll lately. So this is an awesome match. Like I said, very, very hard hitting. I give all four of these guys a lot of credit because with no crowd, it can be kind of hard, I guess, to be motivated to do this kind of match with this kind of violence and some of the spots that they did. But they went out there and left it all in the ring. So, you know, thank you to all four guys. I'll say all six of the people out there, including Penelope Ford and Orange Cassidy, all played their parts very, very well. And this is a really fun match. So after this, we see Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, at her practice talking about her being a role model. And she introduces her makeup artist, who she calls Reba. And they do an interview with Reba, and Reba actually says her name is Rebel. She starts talking about how she starts talking very sarcastically about being, you know, helping out Britt and doing her makeup, and Britt pulls her to the side, you know, says cut, pulls her to the side and tells her that she's giving her an opportunity, kind of running her down. And Britt doesn't know that the camera's still rolling as Rebel kind of keeps looking over at the camera as everything's still rolling. And Rebel comes back and even more sarcastically starts saying how much she adores Britt Baker and she loves, you know, doing her makeup and stuff like that. It was pretty funny. It was a funny introduction to this new character for Britt. We go back to Britt, who's in her office, and she says she's been talking to people on social media about, you know, they're wanting to know more steps on how to become a role model. And Britt has this big flip book that she starts flipping with different steps on how to be a role model. And one of the things she says is that not everybody can be a role model. And then she starts talking about there's certain people or certain things about you that keep you from being a role model. One of them she said was fat people. And she showed a picture of Tony Schiavone, who it's obviously been altered where he has a much bigger gut than he already has. And she also said that you have to have good teeth as well. And it showed a close-up of Tony Schiavone's teeth, and it had been altered as well. So this was Britt just completely running down Tony Schiavone. And this is a weird pairing with these two. It's been going on for weeks now. But it is really funny. And these two do have some pretty funny chemistry together. But I'm really starting to dig this new Britt Baker. She's really taken into her heel persona very well. This role model thing is perfect for her because she can be very sarcastic, you know, very over the top with it. You know, she's very full of herself and she's doing a great job. And if you guys hadn't listened, she was on, what podcast was she? She was on Jericho's podcast, I think. And that she talked about how she had never been a heel before in her entire life. And they came to her, I think she said it was Kenny or Cody, one of the two, came to her and asked her about potentially turning heel. And she was for it. But she had even said, I don't know what to do. I'm so new at it. I've never been a heel before. But, you know, she's done a great job, in my opinion. You can tell she was a little nervous at first. You know, it took her a little bit to kind of get her feet wet. But she's really coming into her own as a heel. And I think this is a great natural spot for her. A lot of people were thinking she was getting kind of vanilla, kind of dull as a baby face. I don't know if I completely agree with that, but I can kind of see where people would think that. But she's done a great job, you know, kind of reinventing herself with this heel persona. And she's moved her way up, in my opinion, as one of the top females in this division, which I know she was signed that way to kind of be the face of the division. But it was, you know, really it was more Riho and Nyla Rose to an extent that kind of took that mantle at first, and Britt kind of took a step back. But in my opinion, Britt's doing a great job of getting back there again, being one of those top stars in the women's division. And, you know, she wrestled quite a bit the last few weeks. She looked really impressive. Her match with Hikaru Shida a couple weeks ago was an incredible match. I loved it. I know I was a little critical about it at first because it did start a little slow, but I went back and watched it, and I really dug that match a lot. So Britt's getting better in all aspects, and she really hasn't been doing this very long. I think 4 or 5 years is as long as she's been doing this. So she's only going to get better. And the future is so bright for her, especially if she stays a heel. Like I said earlier, I think this is her natural stance and her natural persona, and she can just run with it. And of course, you know, her boyfriend is, in my opinion, one of the best heels in the world, and Adam Cole, and he's been a heel pretty much his entire career for the most part. So, you know, she's going to learn a lot from him, and I see a lot of similarities between the two in their characters. So, yeah, big props to Britt Baker for how well she's taking on this new role, and she's going to run with it, and she's going to do great. I have no doubt about it. Back in the arena, we get the chairman, Sean Spears, taking on Baron Black. This was a showcase match kind of for Spears. Black was able to get a little bit of offense in, but it wasn't nothing real significant. This was, like I said, kind of a match for Sean Spears to keep his momentum going. He's looked really good since his loss to Cody in the first round of the TNT tournament. He's kind of piled up some wins since then, and I'm really happy to see this because I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago that I see a lot of potential in Sean Spears as one of the top guys in AEW. You know, he was in developmental for WWE for so long. They gave him a shot, you know, on the main roster, never really did anything with him. He had a decent run in NXT with his 10 gimmick that he did as Ty Dillinger, but he's really, you know, we talk about Britt reinventing herself. He's really reinvented himself as a heel here in AEW, and I like what he's doing. And this is a natural fit for him also. It kind of seems like there's a lot of people like this in AEW that are really, you know, testing a few things out, and then now that it's been going for a bit, they're getting comfortable in their roles, and they're getting better and better each week. And Sean Spears is no exception, in my opinion. He's racking up wins. He's getting some quality wins. I know he has had a couple of squash matches here and there, but he's had some decent tag team matches as well that he's had some great showings in. So I like that they're keeping him at this upper mid card, you know, even close to the main event spot. And I think he's going to stay there even when everybody starts coming back, and a lot of the wrestlers that are, you know, kind of stuck in their country, stuck overseas because of the pandemic going on. Once travel comes back and they're able to bring those guys back to AEW, I think there's still going to be a spot for Sean Spears towards the top of this roster. And I really hope so, because there's something about him that's special. And you can see it anytime he's on screen. So, I'm very, very impressed with Sean Spears and the way AEW is portraying him and the way he's portraying himself, whether it be in the crowd or in the ring. He's doing a lot of good stuff right now. I'm a big fan of it. Next up, we got Mr. Fun Size, Marco Stunt, taking on the Exalted One, Brody Lee. This one's been kind of brewing for a couple of weeks now. You know, Brody came in as the Exalted One. He's been on a roll, kind of running through everybody. And Marco's been, he had the match where he got destroyed by Lance Archer during Archer's debut. But Stunt's been spending a lot of time in the crowd, and they've been showing him a lot during Brody Lee's matches. They've had a couple of face-offs, I guess you can say, even though with their different sizes. And they announced this match last week that it was going to happen this week. This match, another one, kind of you expected exactly how it was going to go. It was complete domination by Brody Lee. Marco, I'm not hating on Marco Stunt at all. I like Marco Stunt. I became a big fan of his. I love Jurassic Express as a whole. But right now, Marco Stunt's just kind of that guy that's making the big guys look really good. You know, they can do whatever they want to him. They throw him around everywhere. He makes their moves look devastating. And this was no different. There was one point in this match that Marco came off the top, trying for a crossbody, and Brody Lee just caught him and hit a black hole slam out of it. It was really impressive. And then Brody picks up Marco and hits a pop-up powerbomb, sit-out powerbomb. So much force and velocity behind it. Gets the victory. Easy win for Brody Lee. And, you know, the match was what it was. It was another squash match, another good showing for Brody Lee. And like I said, that's kind of what Marco's there for. And hopefully pretty soon all of Jurassic Express will be back together so Marco can kind of get back in that six-man tag stuff again, because I feel like that's where he really shines, and I think he plays his role very well. He's fun to watch in the ring, you know, and his offense is really good for being as small as he is. But, I mean, they're putting him against Lance Archer and against Brody Lee and these massive, massive guys that, I mean, you kind of know what the result's going to be. So I give Marco Stunt credit for going in there and taking his whipping like a man, because that's pretty much what he's been doing every single week. But you know, another good win for the Exalted One, and I'm looking forward to see what they're going to do with him too, and with the Dark Order as a whole, because we really haven't seen the Dark Order all together yet. The only time we really saw them together was Brody Lee's debut, when he showed up with Evil Uno and Stu Grayson inside the ring. But ever since then, it's just been Brody Lee for the most part. So, you know, once everything kind of gets back to normal, they're, you know, I want to see where the Dark Order is going to go. This is the first time that I haven't seen a backstage segment, as of right now, haven't seen a backstage segment for Brody Lee playing his Vince McMahon type character, that he just came out, was brutal, did his job, and left. And this is the Brody Lee that I want to see. This is the one that I think is perfect for this Exalted One character. He doesn't need to be the Vince McMahon ripoff, you know, doing the things that are these well-documented stories that people have told about how Vince McMahon is during meetings or backstage or when he's angry or stuff like that. You know, I understand what they're trying to do with it, but it's been going on for a few weeks now, and you guys know I've been very boisterous about it, about how I feel, and I'm not a big fan of it, and I'm really still not a big fan of it. But this week was just Brody Lee in the ring doing his thing. And I think this is exactly how it needs to be. Like, let him lead physically by example. A couple weeks ago, when he attacked one of the lower ranks, I guess you could say, of the Dark Order to make a statement, that's good stuff. That's the kind of stuff that I want to see, that he needs to lead by example by doing. Like, that's going to really put the Dark Order over the top. And if they start pushing the Dark Order based on how Brody Lee treats them and pushes them, it's only going to help the Dark Order even more as this collective group. So, yeah, I liked what was done this week. It just complete domination by Brody Lee. That's what it should be. You know, maybe they add a Marco Stunt to the Dark Order, at least maybe till Jurassic Express comes back, until, you know, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus are back, where Marco Stunt feels like he's tired of losing, he's tired of getting destroyed by these monsters, and he needs some guidance. So he approaches Brody Lee and asks to join the Dark Order. And then you can do the storyline where once the Jurassic Express comes back, they can try to fight to get Marco out of there and back with them again. So just a little bit of fantasy booking, some certain things they could do. I wouldn't mind it. I think it would do a lot of good for a lot of people. So especially Marco Stunt, because he's a very interesting character. And he is a character that that you do watch when he's out there, because I mean, he is small, but he's got a lot of personality. So I do like Marco Stunt a lot. I like where he's going. Yes, like I said, he is in this being treated like a rag doll kind of situation right now, but that's going to change, I think. And I think Marco's going to do some pretty good stuff here pretty soon. After this, we got a video showing the AEW World Champion, John Moxley. And Moxley was standing, looks like he was kind of standing in the desert by this wall that had a bunch of paint, a bunch of graffiti on it. If it's some kind of special wall that I'm supposed to notice, I didn't notice if it was. But he was just talking about the things that he's grateful for. And he talked about his wife, how he's grateful for her. He's grateful for AEW, for the fans. And, you know, he talked about his victory at Revolution when he beat Jericho for the title, how he was celebrating with the fans and how it was a great moment, but, you know, he hasn't been able to celebrate with the fans since then. And he thanked the fans for keeping their distance and doing what they need to do to get through this pandemic. But he was kind of the voice that everybody's been wanting to hear, saying, you know, this isn't permanent. You know, we're all going to be back. We're all going to celebrate together. But the main thing I took out of this is he kind of made an announcement. AEW is going back live next week, which is awesome. No more pre-taped episodes. I was mentioning earlier about how much longer are they going to be doing recording episodes. This is the last one. Next week, they will be live. AEW will be live. So I'm very, very excited to hear that. I know you guys are going to be excited to hear it. And the champ says he's going to be in the house. He said he's driving cross country, and he will be there live and in person next week for Dynamite. So I'm really excited to hear that. We need to figure out and find out who his next opponent's going to be, what direction they're going to go, because Double or Nothing is about a month away. I think it's May 28th, if I'm not mistaken. So right at a month as I'm recording this is when Double or Nothing is. So it gives him about 4 or 5 weeks to start booking something and start booking the matches for that card. I don't really have a guess right now on who is going to challenge Moxley. I mean, they've done Hager already. I guess they could possibly do Jericho again. I still think Kenny Omega is a possibility because Kenny's been on a winning streak. He's had some singles matches lately with Hangman not being around. So maybe the direction is the unfinished business between Kenny Omega and John Moxley, which would be a very, very interesting matchup. So if I had a guess, I'd say that's the direction they're going to go. But it could be somebody we're not even expecting. You know, maybe it's a Lance Archer, depending on what happens in the TNT tournament. Maybe Archer wins the TNT, you know, if he moves on to the finals tonight, maybe he wins the championship next week. And as the TNT champion, he goes up to Moxley and says, I'm the other champion in this company. Let's see if I can get yours too. That's the direction they could go as well. So we'll have to wait till next week, but great news knowing and finding out that AEW Dynamite will be live next week. All right, guys, it is main event time, and our last matchup in the TNT semifinals tournament pits Lance Archer taking on the natural Dustin Rhodes. Real quick, before we get into this match, there were a couple of announcements made for Dynamite next week. We're getting the return of MJF. We're also going to be getting Jon Moxley taking on Frankie Kazarian from SCU in a non-title match. And then the main event is going to be La Sex Gods, which is Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara taking on the team of Matt Hardy and Kenny Omega. And it's also going to be a street fight. So that match is going to be awesome. I am looking forward to that. It will be, if I'm not mistaken, the AEW in-ring debut of Matt Hardy. So that match is going to be absolutely crazy. It's going to be a lot of fun. But it's time for our main event for this week's episode. I kind of was a little misinformed earlier. I mentioned that the TNT Championship match will be next week. It's actually going to be at Double or Nothing. So the winner of this match will face Cody at Double or Nothing for the first ever TNT Championship. And honestly, guys, this was my match of the night. I was wondering why they put Cody and Darby Allin to start the show, because I figured that was going to be the better match. But it wasn't, guys. I think this main event was a little bit better. Dustin and Lance Archer had an incredible match. Very hard-hitting, very physical. Both guys just laying everything in. Archer was in control most of the match, but Dustin had a great comeback towards the end, hit a big power slam, hit a crossroads. And when he pinned Archer after the crossroads, Lance actually kicked out at one. And this was a good 15, 20 minutes into the match, because the match went almost 30 minutes. It was a pretty long match. And It was very, very good. Dustin ended up getting busted open. They were on the outside, and Dustin grabbed a chair and was going to hit Archer with it. Archer kicked the chair into Dustin's face, and Dustin did the blade job. So yeah, got a little bit of color in this match, too. This match, it was awesome. It was a lot of fun, and it showed that Lance Archer can go. He's pretty much had some squash matches. His match with Cabana recently went a little bit longer, but it was still a pretty dominant win for him. But this was the first like kind of full match, I can say, for Archer in AEW, and he was very, very impressive. He did this one spot that was absolutely incredible, because Lance Archer is about 6'7", 6'8", probably about 250, pretty close. I mean, massive guy. He grabs Dustin's arm and climbs the top rope and starts walking the top rope, kind of like The Undertaker in his old school move. He walked about 3/4 of the way across the ropes and then turned around and hit a moonsault off of the top rope onto Dustin Rhodes. It was so impressive for a guy his size to be that agile and hit a great-looking moonsault on top of it. It was very, very impressive. At the end of the match, Lance Archer exposed one of the turnbuckles, grabbed Dustin, and slammed him 3 times head first into the turnbuckle. And Dustin kind of fell down and rolled to the apron. QT Marshall walked over with a white towel, you know, kind of showing that he was going to throw the towel in. But Cody shows up, grabs the towel from QT, and is kind of talking to Dustin, asking Dustin what he wants to do. And Dustin stops Cody from throwing. He grabs the towel from Cody. And as he does, Archer drags Dustin in the ring and slams his head multiple times into the mat, and then takes his knee, puts it on Dustin's throat, and pins him for the 3 count. It was a very brutal sight and very intimidating sight, with Lance Archer with his knee on Dustin's throat, pinning him as he's looking at Cody, who is standing on the outside. So Lance Archer is your winner, and we'll be moving on to face Cody for the TNT Championship at Double or Nothing. This is kind of the direction I thought they were going to go when I saw the brackets. You know, Darby Allin was my pick before the brackets came out, but once I saw the way everything was kind of set up, I thought they might go Dustin, or they might go Cody and Lance Archer, especially with the promos that Jake Roberts has cut over the last few weeks, talking about where that Cody's the one person that Lance wants. He's the, you know, that's the reason he's here, is to pretty much knock Cody down a peg. So now we have a month to build this match, and now we can get the storyline involved. And it's going to be great. This is going to be one of the bigger matches on Double or Nothing, no matter what else is added to it. I'm excited. I'm really excited for this match. This is probably the best matchup they could have done. It's going to get very personal between now and that event. Archer's going to end up running through a lot of people, and he's going to look like a monster heading into it. If I'm going to make a pick right now, I'm going to say Archer wins the title. I think this is going to be a moment to really put him over. To have him beat both Rhodes brothers in the same tournament, that's something that he can kind of brag about. And then maybe they can continue this feud on with him and Cody. I don't think Double or Nothing will be the blow off. I think it's just going to be the start of their feud. And with MJF coming back next week, you know, he and Cody still have unfinished business too. So a lot of storylines next week are going to progress, and I'm really excited to see where they're going to go. A lot of people coming back, a lot of guys we haven't seen in a while. Next week's a big episode, guys. Going back live, I don't know what the commentary team's going to be with Jericho being in a match. I would assume he's probably not going to be on commentary. Hopefully we'll get Excalibur and JR back and get the full team again. But Jericho and Shivani have been awesome on commentary. They've been so much fun. But I'm ready to see Le Champion back in the ring. You know, that's where Jericho belongs. He's still a great in-ring performer, and the street fight next week is going to be a lot of fun. So another great edition of Dynamite this week, guys. This was one of my more favorite episodes in a while. It was very action-packed. There were some great matches from top to bottom. There was, you know, a couple squash matches, but we got the great tag team No Holds Barred match. We got the great Cody and Darby match, and then the main event was off the charts. You know, I got to give credit to Dustin Rhodes real quick, too. I didn't really talk about him. I talked a lot about Lance Archer, but Dustin Rhodes was awesome in this match. I mean, he's so good for being 50 years old and being doing this for 30 years. And the fact that he can still go the way he does is absolutely incredible. So, you know, kudos to Dustin Rhodes for still putting on amazing matches at this point of his career. It's really unbelievable, and I have all the respect in the world for him. But that's going to do it for me for this week, guys. Like I said earlier, I apologize for missing last week. Unfortunately, like I said, living in the South, bad weather is a part of it, and I hated that I had to miss, but I'm glad I could come back this week. I'm glad you guys joined me. You guys were patient. I really appreciate it. And remember, guys, you guys can always contact me on Twitter. I'm at Run With Turtles. If you guys ever want to talk about anything, talk about wrestling, mixed martial arts, you know, I'm a big mixed martial arts fan. You know, I have a mixed martial arts podcast I do also, the Effing For Real podcast. And there's a big event coming up next weekend. So whatever you guys are a fan of, hit me up. I'm easy to talk to. I'm easy to get a hold of. Hey, I'll talk to any of you guys. So make sure you guys hit me up on Twitter anytime you guys want. Also, guys, make sure you just subscribe to this podcast on all of your podcasting platforms and check out the other hosts of the other shows here on the WWE podcast. Everybody does a great job. The Raw and SmackDown reviews, the AEW reviews. The NXT reviews, everything, guys. Everybody works really hard and puts out some great content. So make sure to listen to every single show that drops. You guys won't regret it, I promise. All right, guys. Hope you guys have a great rest of the week, and I will see you guys next week for the return of the live editions of AEW Dynamite. Take care.